From between the hedges at Sanford Stadium to the practice fields, from Stegman Coliseum and wherever else the Bulldogs are playing, it's time to talk Georgia sports.
Touchdown, don't win it!
From the Athens Banner Herald, here are your hosts, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
Hey, welcome in. It's been a while since the last Bulldogs Extra podcast. Mark and Ryan here with you. A lot to talk about. Spring practice is now complete. Seems to be a clear leader at the quarterback for Georgia. We'll break down the G-Day game, the transfer roster departures for the Bulldogs, and a new basketball player for Mike White's team via the portal. And the football team got their rings. Ryan, you were at the Masters and then came down with something, so not able to do a podcast last week. Are you feeling better? And for those that haven't had the privilege, what is it actually like to play Augusta National?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was one of the lucky ones that got to play between the ropes at Augusta National last Monday. But yeah, I feel like it came with a bit of a curse along with it, because yeah, I came down with something. I never tested positive for COVID, but something got me and. You know, I played a week ago Monday and wasn't feeling the best, but I was like, you know, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. I'm going to hop out here and do it. And yeah, it pretty much knocked me down to the ground for the rest of last week. But I mean, I'm telling you, man, it was a once in a lifetime experience. For those that don't know, the media, building there, you can register to play in the journalist lottery that they pick about, I think it's 28 people out of the horde of media there to play Augusta National on Monday following the tournament. And yeah, I was picked, and I mean, you got treated like, you know, luxury. You got your bags carried and you got your own caddy and got to play the entire round. And I played all 114 shots pretty well, actually. I mean, I hit some good shots and hit some bad shots, but it was all about the experience. And yeah, so now recovering, feeling better, got to watch G-Day on Saturday, and trying to get back to 100% now.
All right. Well, nice experience. I guess it's not the same as, you know, going to Topgolf, getting around at Augusta National, but Georgia players got four rings. I guess the departing players got them Saturday. The current players got them Monday that were on the team last year. Should the winning team get a ring too, you think, for winning G-Day? What do you think?
No, don't they get steak or lobster? What's the did they talk about that afterward the other day?
I don't think I heard any. Well, it is steak and lobster, I guess. But
yeah. And beating winners right. For the losers, right?
So the Georgia players got this little box with their four rings in it. There's an SEC title ring, a playoff ring, a Peach Bowl ring, and a national championship ring. No ring for Uga Q, who was retired Uga 10. I'm sure his handler, Charles Seiler, probably got it, as well as the whole Seiler family. But there's a new Uga in town now. Boom. Why was this done now and not at the home opener? Did you ever ask that question when you talked to Charles Seiler?
I think they want Boom to, have a few months to really break himself in, because he's still a wild one. He's almost 10 months now and still a little bit in the puppy kind of zone, you know, and I think they wanted to get him in front of a crowd now to get an experience so that, you know, the first time he's in front of all those people in the first game of the year. But they do say they have to break him in a little more, get him a little more calm, a little more relaxed. So I guess it'll be about a year and a half or maybe a year, 3-4 months by the time the new season begins. So hopefully he'll be a little more relaxed. But yeah, he seemed like he was rambunctious a little bit and not as calm as Q the other day. But I think it was just Q is experiencing some arthritis and other pains. So now was the time to do it.
Q's running out of steam a little bit. He had to be carried onto the field. I saw, first of all, I want to say that the name Boom is great. I like it. But it seems a little bit like a wild child, as you mentioned, very energetic for a 9-month-old, I guess. So at one point they were together in their doghouse. I don't know how long that was, but I saw a nice.
There were some cute pics that came out of that. I know that.
nice pictures that that Josh Jones took. All right, well, G-Day offense looked, got, you know, on both sides, I thought looked really good, both the red and black team. Carson Beck, very sharp, hitting his targets, running the offense well, no interceptions on the day, sharp, as I mentioned. Brock Vandegrift also started strong when he worked with the starting offense. I guess it was the second half. Not as sharp, had an interception. Naturally, some questions came up afterwards. I don't think I actually asked him, but I was there to listen to him regarding Brock, and didn't say for sure that he would be a Bulldog next season. You know, I don't think you're going to make that kind of statement, you know, right after you walk off the field, but opens a question about, you know, will he? What do you think? Do you think, obviously, he's a very talented player that could be a starting quarterback for Georgia still in the future? I mean, we've seen guys, we saw Dwan Mathis start the first game and get replaced. We saw JT Daniels start a season and ultimately lose the job after some injuries. You know, so that's always a possible. Carson could go to the NFL after this season if he was a starter. You know, what do you think Brock might do?
You know, it's funny. I mean, obviously these kids want to come in. They want to play. You look at Brock, who was, what, Gatorade All-American, every type of All-American you could think of out of high school. And I'm sure he, you know, kind of assumed that by his second or third year, he was going to be in line to be the guy at Georgia. So, I mean, judging, we talked about this a little bit about, you know, he had kind of the same statements at the Peach Bowl where, you know, I guess he was third in line then behind Stetson, behind Carson. Didn't really say much other than, you know, things will always constantly be evaluated. If I had to guess, I think he could go somewhere and start. Where that is, I don't know. You know, he's an Oklahoma commit there for 2.5 weeks, it seemed like, before backing out and ultimately committing to Georgia. So wouldn't surprise me if he decided to go give an opportunity somewhere else. But, yeah, you know, we know the family pretty well, you know, right down the road at Prince Avenue. And I think talking to his dad some, I think they want him at Georgia. I think they want him to be successful at Georgia. But if he's going to be a backup for a couple more years, it wouldn't surprise me if he went somewhere else. Now, you know, who knows where that would land? Would it be a Clemson right up the road? Because I know when he backed out of the Oklahoma commit, it was about being close to grandparents that could come see him play. You know, where would that be best for him? You know, I know there's a lot of teams that want to take him. So it wouldn't surprise me if he came out in the next, what was it, got 2 weeks, I think, till the portal closes for the spring and put his name in the hat.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question would be, where could he go and start right away? You know, I'm not sure how many Power Five type jobs, you know, obviously Florida's, I didn't watch it, but I saw some highlights. They didn't look like they had much going on offensively in their inter-squad game. So I'm sure they'll get a handle on that. Probably, I don't know if it was bigger than the quarterbacks, but pretty big news Saturday was Bear Alexander, the talented second year Georgia defensive tackle, deciding to transfer, and he's in the portal now. How big a loss do you think that is?
I mean, I think it's pretty significant. You know, the talk at the after the Georgia demolition in the national championship game was, you know, you lose Jalen Carter, but hey, you still got Bear Alexander and, you know, some other young guys that are going to just fill that spot. And the fact that he decided to leave, I think it's, you know, leaves a little bit of a hole. Now, Georgia's always been kind of good at finding those guys that and just step right in there. But Bear's whole kind of Georgia experience was funny, right? He commits and he backs out and then he recommits. And then next thing you know, he's getting a little bit of playing time and then he's gone. I guess he could still come back. But yeah, it's a pretty big loss, I think. You know, if you were writing out what the defensive line was going to look like and the defense as a whole after the national championship game last year, I think you had him plugged in there as, you know, big-time players. So a little confusing as to why he would make this decision unless he just saw some playing time disappear during the spring.
Playing time always can be a factor. Also, not knowing the particulars of his case, NIL is a big factor in the transfer market. You know, he might have the opportunity to cash in more somewhere else. Might be a lure. That, you know, his people might be hearing. I don't know how that would play out. But
I mean, he's a Texas guy, right? And we saw that out of A.D. Mitchell head back toward toward his hometown. So,
yeah. Ryan Davis, inside linebacker, fifth-year guy in the program, also jumped in the portal on Monday. You know, guy that probably saw the writing on the wall with a lot of talent at the inside linebacker spot. You saw Xavier Sori stepping in for Smile Mundon, who was out during G-Day with an injury. You know, E.J. Lightsey comes aboard. Well, not comes aboard, but, you know, comes back and looks like could be a factor at inside linebacker. So you wish him well, and you move on just like they did with Trez Marshall. Usually a guy that's been in the program as long as he was, Ryan Davis, you know, they see the writing on the wall, and that's why Georgia's had, you know, more than a dozen, I guess it is now, transfers. What areas do you think Georgia needs to find in the portal? If Vandegrift leaves, I think they need a third scholarship quarterback somewhere. You know, running back depth is an issue. They had two scholarship tailbacks available Saturday for G-Day. In the freshman, Roderick Robinson and Dejon Edwards, who wasn't at 100% either with his hamstring. I think another cornerback that has started games somewhere might be a possibility opposite Kamari Lassiter. You know, got some unproven guys there with Nylon Green, and the two other guys competing at that spot. Any thoughts on that, where, you know, what Georgia might be looking for portal-wise themselves now?
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, all those positions, and I think that's what made Kirby, you know, so good the past few years. And it's funny, they didn't need to go to the portal last year. They've already jumped in pretty strong this year, you know, two receivers and you know, guys that
– Smoke Bowie.
Yeah, and DB. So I'm sure that Kirby is always evaluating, you know, all the needs along, you know, everything. And, you know, you mentioned Bear Alexander again. I mean, do they go out and get a D lineman somewhere that come in and provide more depth there? Mm-hmm. I think we're still in a wait and see mode, though. Like you said, if Brock hangs around at quarterback, then you're sitting pretty there. You know, would they be confident, you know, with what they have at backup behind Carson if Brock were to leave? I don't. You know, you got a very young quarterback there in Stockton, who I don't know how comfortable they are if he's needed. So. Yeah,
I think they like those two guys, but
I know that. But do you trust?
Yeah.
I mean, you trust him at this point.
Well, not even that. It's just, you have an injury, and you're really thin at that spot. So, I definitely think, you know, you'd want a third scholarship guy. Another thing that jumped out to me about G-Day was, and you knew about it, but it was, you know, to see it, to confirm it in person with your own eyes. So much young talent on this defense. Damon Wilson, two sacks at outside linebacker. Jordan Hall, a couple of batted down passes, at the line of scrimmage. Raylan Wilson, the inside backer, with a pick six. C.J. Allen, another inside backer with five tackles. You know, Ernest Green at left tackle on the other side of the ball. You know, he looks like another guy that really has big upside, you know, on this offensive line. So.
Yeah, we've been hearing his name since he pretty much came in the program.
Yeah, as an early enrollee last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kirby's not really saying it, but, you know, you can see it. Javon Bullard is looking like a starting safety, and Tyke Smith as a starting star nickelback. Now, they talk about, you know, just kind of getting cross-training guys and working guys, getting more reps for other people at different spots, but – you know, those look like two of your best five DBs at this point.
Tyke had a pick the other day against Brock Vandegrift, did he not?
Yeah, he picked off a Vandegrift pass.
Set back in the zone there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what to make of Mekki Mews.
I was going to ask you about him.
Yeah, he's. I didn't really write about him, like, because I wrote a follow story, which was like five guys that are arising and you know that can be counted on in the fall, and I'm not sure he is, just because it's, you see these guys on G-Day that that flash and do something, and then you never hear about him when the season rolls around. So I don't know where he is in that regard. I haven't gone back to watch G-Day yet. I'm curious to see who are some of those DBs that were chasing him. Were they other walk-ons? Were they you know, third stringers? You know, I don't know who they had lined up on the special teams and some of those long returns. But he's interesting.
He is. I saw one comparison to Isaiah
McKenzie.
Say that again?
To McKenzie?
Yeah, McKenzie. And, you know, just kind of that, I think that short little
yes.
quick burst that he has
yeah.
now.
That's it. Yeah, that seems fair. I mean, Georgia is so deep with these wideouts. So I don't know what, you know, I mean, he was on the team last year and they didn't really, you know, use him too much.
Right.
Interesting that Ra-Ra Thomas didn't play offense at all. I guess he was on special teams from what Kirby said, but you know, he had his January domestic incident with a girlfriend in a dorm, and, you know, got pretrial intervention on that. And, you know, I'm not sure if he's going to have to sit a game or two or what's going on with that. But, you know, the other transfer wide receiver, Dominic Lovett, 2 catches, 30 yards on 3 targets. You know, he is what we thought he would be, guy that can make some plays in space, I guess. And I think Dylan Bell will continue to be a factor, you know. Will he move up? And, I mean, I think they have their guys that, you know, when you saw Carson Beck – even though these guys weren't featured like they would be on a normal game, but when you saw him find Brock Bowers a couple of times and Ladd McConkey once for like 35 or whatever it was, I mean, that's the way the Georgia offense, those are going to be your guys, right? So,
so
to see Carson connecting with them in Mike Bobo's offense, which, you know, I don't think that was Mike Bobo's offense. That was a G-Day offense, really. So, and then Jackson Meeks with
carrying folks to the end zone, wasn't he?
Carrying folks, and then the offensive guys line pushing in there as well. You know, he's another guy too. Is like, I just don't know how many reps you have. I mean, sure, these early games, you know, they're going to be blowouts, presumably, right? Mm-hmm. You got UT Martin and UAB, but like when you go to Auburn, is he going to be? You know, how much is he going to be? Actually, I mean, that's interesting there because he's going back to Alabama. Then he's from that neck of the woods, but. Anyway, should we take a break or you want to just roll on?
Let's take a quick break.
All right, take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about more about Georgia football and some title changes on the staff, some commitments in football and basketball, and a couple other things. We'll wrap it up. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the Bulldogs Extra Podcast. Like what you hear? Subscribe today wherever you get your podcast. Give us a rating, a like, and even leave us a comment to let us know how we're doing. As always, find more content at onlineathens.com and in the Athens Banner Herald. Now, let's get back to the show.
All right, welcome back. Ryan, Glenn Schumann is no longer co-defensive coordinator, according to what Georgia is titling him on their website and their roster, I guess it was, for G-Day. Now, defensive coordinator. Will Muschamp is still co-defensive coordinator, which means, as I think I might have said before on this podcast, Glenn Schumann is clearly the 1A, and Will Muschamp's the 1B. Look, when was it? Dan Lanning was your defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Schumann had the title co-defensive coordinator, so that's what we got now, right? After last year when they both had the co-defensive coordinator. I guess this is what happens when you go interview with the Eagles and maybe draw some interest from Alabama, perhaps, and you get a big pay raise. I mean, he's getting – I don't have it in front of me again, but I he's making like, what is it, 1.7, 1.8, something like that. And
he doubled what he was making, yeah.
Yeah, Muschamp hadn't – his number hadn't moved. But I think, you know, I imagine he's going to get a bump of some sort soon. But, you know, well, Muschamp still has $13 million that he can kind of – tap into from South Carolina. So
yeah, he's sitting pretty, isn't he?
Yeah. Todd Hartley also is assistant head coach along with tight ends coach.
Now didn't that title belong to running backs coach there at one point? Is he still?
Yeah. So this is about how much these titles really mean. Cause I didn't even remember who was what, you know, I knew that like that Sam Pittman had a title of associate head coach, And then Matt Luke had that title as well. I think it was only one season Del McGee was assistant head coach, and then he became run game coordinator. I don't know. Sometimes these titles are just, I think they need to be justified. Like, I don't know exactly how it works, but if you're giving like a significant raise to a coach, maybe there's something in the system at Georgia where you need to say, okay, he has a new position title.
Yeah, I wonder if it's in a contract somewhere where it says, if you're titled this, you must be paid this.
No, that's not the case. But it just might be something with the way the school does something other. I can't tell you for sure, but I mean, to a certain extent, gives a little more gravitas to Hartley, right? Like, he's not just a tight ends coach. I mean, he's an awful recruiter already, and you knew that. Even though they lost a 5-star tight end commitment, which we'll get to, but okay. I mean, you see the talent that they have at that position.
Yeah.
So he's now assistant head coach. So if Kirby's got to go run to do a speaking engagement, say in Macon or Columbus or whatever, hey, Todd Hartley, your assistant head coach, you are running the shop.
Oh yeah, I'm sure Kirby just takes all hands off, right? Let's Hartley run everything.
All right, Georgia basketball picked up a commitment from a RJ Melendez from Illinois. Good showing for him in the NCAA tournament the last 2 years. 6'7" guard forward, not much of a distributor, you know, didn't get many assists, but connections to Mike White and assistant Eric Pastrana when they were coaching at their previous stops. The first new addition since the season ended for Georgia, and they're working some other guys. Amiri Abraham, a guard out of Ole Miss, was on campus last weekend, as well as Russell Chua. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, but he's a big man from South Florida. So we'll see. There's a lot of guys in the portal. Georgia's showing a lot of interest in a lot of them, as you need to put, you know, kind of have a little bit of.
I mean, every year they're having to bandage a team together, right? I mean, it's what the world is in the portal world.
I wouldn't say they're bandaging him. I mean, Mike White is not just a passive participant. I mean, you know, he's making his roster the way he wants. Like, I'm not saying that everybody that has left or will leave under his watch, he wanted out the door. But, you know, sometimes, you know, it's more than you think. So we'll see what happens. Sevier Wheeler visited Georgia again a couple of weeks ago, but I saw, I can't remember which recruiting service.
Yeah, somebody crystal gave him ball to Washington?
To University of Washington. So it's kind of on the other side of the country. It will be interesting to see, you know, I don't even know how much we'll hear about him if he goes there, right? We're kind of watched him a little bit at Kentucky, but we'll see how that plays out. As I mentioned, Georgia lost a 5-star tight end commitment, Landon Thomas from Colquitt County, going to Florida State. Now, according to my calendar here, it's April 18th as we record this. I am not saying he's going to be a Georgia signee. I have no, you know, that's not my point, but like, there's a lot of months to go before the signing in December, right? We'll see what happens. Also got a commitment since we last podcast from a 3-star wide receiver out of Indiana, Nitro Showtime Tuggle. Gotta like that name. I don't think any of those names are his birth names, Nitro or Showtime.
Any kin to Jesse Tuggle?
I don't know. Was it Jesse Tuggle from Indiana?
I don't know. I just know he played for the Falcons, and his son is Grady Jarrett.
Don't know.
Hey, did you see the soccer commit? I know everybody's.
I did. Yeah,
from curious about soccer. I mean, that's a pretty big get, right?
I mean, the head coach used to
be at USC. I know, but
yeah, these are two players that I assume signed with Southern Cal when he was there, right?
So
they're from Georgia, and you know, come on back home and play here. Yeah, he's doing a good job talking about building a roster with you know, transfers, and they've done the same with Tony Baldwin at softball. They have, I think, well, they have an Alabama transfer. They have the pitcher that came from Duke.
Yeah.
Speaking of Georgia softball, a little story on Jada Kearney today can be found on onlineathens.com. I was jinxing her when I don't think Friday she did anything, because I interviewed her last week. Knew I was going to run the story this week, and quiet Friday. But then she homered once Saturday and twice Sunday.
Look at you.
Yeah. So now with 17 homers, and her father played football at West Virginia, so I had a chance to talk to him as well, and kind of a story about, you know, following the athletic footsteps of your dad. And he's a big fan of Kirby Smart, even though he's a Mountaineer. Ryan, Devin Willock and Chandler LaCroix were honored at Saturday's game by the Georgia team as they took a snap without a left guard on the field and took a knee, I guess it was, right? And
I think it's a delay of game, but, you know.
Yeah.
They did.
And the players lifted their helmets up.
Both sides hugged a good bit, I noticed, yeah.
I wrote about Devin Willock last week, again, kind of encompassing kind of what I'd heard from the team, the players, his teammates, about him during the weeks of spring practice, because I never really wrote about it like in snippets. So that's at Online Athens also as well, if you want to read about kind of how they are remembering him and keeping him in their thoughts and motivated by the example that he set as a teammate and player. Ryan, there's a lot of talk this spring about spring games. Should they be against other schools? Would you want to see Georgia play Mercer or Georgia play? Look, I don't think they're going to schedule Georgia State, right? Didn't Georgia State go beat Tennessee? But would you want to see Georgia play Kennesaw State? What do you think of that? Would you rather see that?
No, I'm not a big fan of that. I mean, what does the Georgia get out of that? And what does the Kennesaw State get out of that? I mean, that's just seems like it'd be a bludgeoning.
Well, it's really, I mean, it was talked about by Hugh Freeze at Auburn that is a way to raise money for, like, you know, something in the state of Alabama. So Georgia, Kirby said he would do the same if they did it, you know, obviously for charities in Georgia. I mean, from a football standpoint, I don't want to see it. I'd rather see Georgia versus Georgia.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather see more of the young guys. Like, you know, I don't think obviously it doesn't matter. It would be an exhibition, but like, you know, would Georgia feel good walking off the field with only a 14-point win against Mercer? Like, the, you know what I mean? Like, the, I think there would be a competitive nature. And the other thing is, like, there's so much hype and pressure in the fall for on these players and stuff. I think even I think the players needed a break to a certain extent. Like, I don't know if they need that. I mean, it would make them for a much better TV product because I don't think – like, are you ever tuning in to watch a spring game that's not Georgia? Like –
No.
You know, I watch the highlights. I'm not really like I'm not watching Ole Miss spring football on TV. I don't think, you know what I mean?
No, I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what we'll see. That might sometimes that's just like a new spring talking point. I don't know if there's any kind of momentum to actually doing that or not. One more thing before we go, I just want to make a mention since we hadn't podcast for a while. The passing of Dave Van Hollinger, who was a strength coach under Mark Richt. Died at the age of 69, I think it was, in Texas. You know, if you follow Georgia football, and I assume everyone out there did, since this is a Georgia football and athletics podcast, I mean, he was a key figure in the Mark Richt, you know, kind of elevation of the program, you know, to get to the SEC championships in 2002 and 5 and play there, you know, playing the Sugar Bowl as you know, a team that had a lot of momentum and were number one the next year, was strength coach from 2001 to 2009. And a very friendly guy that came from Florida State with Rick, you know, worked under Bobby Bowden and then was on the support staff for a few years before he went his own way after a while. Did you ever know anything about David Hellinger or have any memories of him?
No, you know, he was a little bit before my time covering Georgia and whatnot. So, but obviously remember the name and, you know, what he was able to do for Mark Richt and the program.
Yeah, that was an interesting time because once Van Hollinger was out of that job, you know, they went with kind of Joe Tereshinski did it for a while. Do you remember that? And then,
oh, yeah.
And then the father of the kicker, you know, the Panther John Casey, right? Didn't he have a role in there as like I guess he might have worked with Tereshinski, but then they brought in the guy from Alabama that is now with Florida as their strength coach, that Pruitt probably had a role in bringing here. So you know, we don't get a chance to talk to Scott Sinclair, but I mean, in terms of stability, I mean, he brought a lot of stability to the strength and conditioning program. He's been there now for 8 seasons under Kirby Smart, so kind of another guy. I mean, he gets kind of joked about as the get back coach, right?
Yeah, But he's also had some guys break away, you know. One guy went to Oregon, right? And I feel like
His staff has had major turnover the last couple of years. But in any event, just thought we should mention that. All right, we will talk to you next time. I don't know if we're going to – well, the NFL draft's next week, so we'll come back with another podcast, I imagine, on that maybe next Thursday before the draft. But we'll see. We'll check your feeds. Give us a 5-star review, and appreciate you listening. Have a great week, everyone.
See ya.